For Sorel, the second coming of Christ was a quintessential myth because its underlying message, Jesus is coming, look busy, was crucial for organizing men in desirable ways. For syndicalists at the time, and ultimately for leftist revolutionaries of all stripes, Sorel's myth of the general strike was the equivalent of the second coming. According to this myth, if all workers declared a general strike, it would crush capitalism and render the proletariat, rather than the meek, the inheritors of the earth. Whether the implementation of a general strike would actually have this result didn't matter, according to Sorel. What mattered was mobilizing the masses to understand their power over the capitalist ruling classes. As Mussolini said in an interview in 1932, "It is faith that moves mountains, not reason. Reason is a tool, but it can never be the motive force of the crowd." This kind of thinking has been commonplace on the left ever since. Think of Al Sharpton when allegedly confronted by the fact that the Tawana Brawley assault was a fake. "It don't matter," he's reported to have said, "we're building a movement." Even more impressive was Sorel's application of the idea of myth to Marxism itself. Again, Sorel held that Marxist prophecy didn't need to be true. People just needed to think it was true. Even at the turn of the last century, it was becoming obvious that Marxism as social science didn't make a whole lot of sense. Taken literally, Marx's Das Kapital, according to Sorel, had little merit. But Sorel asked, what if Marx's nonsensicalness was actually intended? If you looked at this apocalyptic text as a product of the spirit, as an image created for the purpose of molding consciousness, it is a good illustration of the principle on which Marx believed he should base the rules of the socialist action of the proletariat. In other words, Marx should be read as a prophet, not as a policy wonk. That way, the masses would absorb Marxism unquestioningly as a religious dogma. Sorel was deeply influenced by the pragmatism of William James, who pioneered the notion that all one needs is the will to believe. It was James's benign hope to make room for religion in a burgeoning age of science by arguing that any religion that worked for the believer was not merely valid but true. Sorel was an irrationalist who took this sort of thinking to its logical conclusion. Any idea that can be successfully imposed, with violence if necessary, becomes true and good. By marrying James's will to believe with Nietzsche's will to power, Sorel redesigned left-wing revolutionary politics from scientific socialism to a revolutionary religious movement that believed in the utility of the myth of scientific socialism. Enlightened revolutionaries would act as if Marxism were gospel in order to bring the masses under their control for the greater good. Today, we might call these aspects of this impulse lying for justice. Of course, a lie could not become true, that is, successful, unless you had good liars. This is where another of Sorel's major contributions comes in, the need for a revolutionary elite to impose its will upon the masses.